Hello, boys and girls, and welcome once again to another episode of Scry. I am the Seer, your host into this glimpse into the Obsidian Mirror, and conjurer of true tales of terror and ethereal encounters. Many of you have asked me why there hasn't been a new episode in a few weeks, and for that, I apologize. My wife decided that she wanted to remodel a room in our house, and between home renovations, a full-time job, and being a father of four, I just haven't had time to record or edit, really. This episode will be a short one, because I wanted to get something out there for you, and I do have another full episode recorded, but it's the editing that takes time, which I've been short on. Anyways, enough about that. You want a story, don't you? Well, here you all go. This story comes from CBLS6, in which he encounters something in a former home of his. And that something still seems to be lurking there. Let's listen into his tale.
It was a beautiful fall Sunday afternoon. Bright, sunny, and about 70 outside. Me and my roommates, my future brother-in-law Phil and our friend Mitch, were just relaxing, watching another disappointing but fairly predictable Lions loss. Since it was the Lions, there wasn't much exciting to talk about, and we'd been sitting there in silence when, suddenly, we heard a door slam upstairs. It slammed very hard, like someone did it deliberately. We all looked at each other, and Phil said, "What the fuck was that?" and got up to go and look. There were only three doors upstairs. One on Phil's bedroom, and two half-sized doors that led into opposite ends of a crawlspace. When Phil came back down, he shrugged it off and said he wasn't sure what had happened. At the time, he would have never looked to an explanation of a supernatural kind. So I pushed the issue, asking if it was his bedroom door. He said, "No, my door weight is blocking it open." He had a brake drum from an old muscle car he used to own that he used to hold the door open. I then asked if it was a window slamming shut. He said no to that also, because all the windows were locked. I then inquired about the half doors for the crawl space. He informed me that those were still blocked by the fold-out cot we had put up there last week and his old reclining chair. At that point, we just let it go as an, "oh well, whatever" kind of thing. A few weeks later, it was early morning. I was laying in bed, and I woke, and was thirsty, and I had to pee. I got up, noticed the time, just after 7 a.m. on a Saturday morning. I remember it because I knew I had to get up in another hour to go golfing in a golf scramble. I left my bedroom, which was dimly lit by the rising sun, but adequately lit that I didn't need a light on, and could easily make out everything in the room. I had to be careful. I had re-gripped my golf clubs the afternoon before, and I had them laid out all over the floor. I went into the bathroom, pissed, and headed for the kitchen. I flicked on the light, got my drink of water, and headed back to bed. My bed is positioned in the corner of the room. I laid back down and rolled over to face the wall. Before I even got comfortable, I felt someone sit down on the opposite corner of the bed. I rolled back that way, and no one was there. At that point, I became extremely alert. I knew I had not dreamed it, because the clock only read 5 or 6 minutes later than it did when I had just got up. I knew I wasn't half asleep, because I was too aware of all the things I had just done in those last 5 or 6 minutes. So, startled and unsure, but not yet scared, I laid back down facing the side of the bed I had felt something sit on. Just as I got comfortable and closed my eyes, I felt someone sit on the opposite corner again. I flung the covers that way and lunged for a tackle on whichever of my dickhead roommates was fucking with me. Nothing there. Now I got up, turned on the light, and looked around. Nothing. No one. I checked the bathroom and the kitchen, both only a few quick steps from my bedroom doorway. Nothing. Again, I went back to my room, rechecked it, closed my door, and laid down to try and relax. As soon as I closed my eyes, I again felt someone sit on the opposite corner of my bed. This time, I slowly rolled over and saw something I will never forget. She was of average height and build. Her hair was dark, but not black. Her face was pale, but not ghostly pale. She was wearing an old-time blouse, like something Laura Ingalls Wilder would wear. The high collar with the ivory-covered silhouette-style brooch at the neck. Long sleeves with the frilly cuffs, just like you would have seen a woman wear in the Old West. Then her skirt. Well, it wasn't there. Nothing was there. From just above her waist, all the way to the floor, was nothing but a blur. Not a smoky cloud, not a billowing fog, just a see-through blur. At 6'1 and a solid built 200 pounds, I'm big, but I'm not a tough guy, but not a pussy either. I had dealt with intruders in our home before this. When that happened, I was scared, but I had a phone in my hand and a bat in the other, and two roommates that were both bigger than me. But at that very moment, I let out a scream that would have made Jamie Lee Curtis in Halloween sound like a man. After my scream, the woman looked at me, smiled, and was gone. No poof or fade, just gone like she had never been there. My scream had not awakened my roommates, but I was wide awake and just tried to act like it didn't happen. I got ready for golf, gathered up my things, and sat in the living room, watching TV, trying to ignore the thoughts that were swirling about in my head. My roommates got up, got ready, and we left. I didn't speak a word of it to anyone. A month later, the three of us had gone away for the weekend, and my sister came to the house to stay while we were away. When we returned early on Sunday morning, we found her sitting in the living room with a bat on one side of her and Phil's 870 laying across her lap. She proceeded to tell us that around 7 a.m. that morning, she heard footsteps walking towards Phil's bedroom door. She sprang from bed, thinking we were home early and that it was Phil. She threw open the door, and nothing. She shrugged it off to being half asleep in the early morning hours. She shut the door and went back to bed. Not 2 seconds after she closed her eyes, more footsteps. She grabbed the 870, racked it, and aimed it at the door. She waited a full 3 minutes before realizing she could grab the phone to call 911 if she had to. She had left her cell phone downstairs, so she said, "If you are out there, I have a loaded shotgun aimed at the door. If it's you, Phil, stop fucking with me." No response. She went to the door and flung it open. Nothing. She bolted downstairs, grabbed the house phone, her cell, and back up to the bedroom she ran, locking the bedroom door behind her. She sat in the chair directly across the living room from the door, gun across her lap. She awoke to more footsteps. And when she opened her eyes, she saw, well, when she described what she saw, I literally got weak in the knees and fell down. I was white as a sheet and could not breathe. Yeah, she described exactly what I saw a month earlier. As I said, I had told no one what had happened to me. When my sister finished and everyone had helped me into a chair and back to the color of the living, I then told my story of Laura's ghost, as we now call her. Everyone was stunned, except Mitch. He was quite unimpressed and fairly bored with both stories. He's not dumb or slow, but very matter-of-fact and simple in his ways. Not one to get overly excited about anything. He's like Snuffleupagus from Sesame Street if he had graduated high school. And without missing a beat, when my story was finished, he simply said, "I see her all the time in the basement." We, of course, called him on it. "Bullshit, you're being a sarcastic ass." "Nope, I'm serious. I've seen her 3 times down there." Six months later, Mitch and I moved out. 2 months after that, my sister and Phil were married. They still live in that house. No incidents until recently, when my 2.5-year-old nephew was heard talking to himself, like he's talking to someone else. My sister asked him, "What you doing, little man?" "We play tractors." He loves tractors. They play together with his tractors all the time. She said, "Okay," and went to take a seat. He stopped her by holding up his hand at her and saying, "No, not mommy, the lady." Scry.
CBLS6. Thank you for sharing that story. When you mentioned that the ghost was dressed like Laura Ingalls Wilder, I couldn't help but chuckle to myself, thinking about how people in the future are going to describe ghosts from our time.
She had purple hair and piercings all over.
Or, he had tattoos all over his face. Or, if they witnessed my ghost,
he was naked and doing jumping jacks in the living room.
Anyways, thank you once again for the story. If any of you out there have a story that you would like to share, you can submit it at scrypod.com, scrypodcast@gmail.com, or leave us a voicemail at 573-203-8668. We would love to hear your story and help share the scare. The music that appears in this episode's story appears courtesy of Mew through a Creative Commons license. Check out the show notes for more on this incredibly talented artist. Sorry again that this has been a short episode, but I have some baseboards that I have to go stain. A new full-length episode will be coming soon. But for now, it's time to once again close the gate, and as always, say goodbye. This is Scry.